Blog Talk Radio.
Apologize for the technical problem. That we are having for this Blog Talk Radio. I know we are going to repeat it later, but for the sake of the listener, the topic for today is the cry of the righteous. The cry of the righteous. The cry of the righteous. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 34, verse 17, that the righteous cry and the Lord hear them. Let me read from the book of Psalm 34, verse 17. Psalm 34, verse 17. Read us. The righteous cried out, and the Lord hears, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and deliver them out of their troubles. What is righteous? Righteous is characterized by upper morality, that is a righteous observance of the law. In the life of humanity, we are always faced with three things that are beyond our control. The healing of our heart and the healing of our spirit and the injustice that we always endure. When we talk about righteous, we have to go beyond the original evidences. Because if we want to contemplate to determine a righteousness based on the evidences available, sometimes we might have a miscalculated idea. When we want, and we cannot dismiss the idea of saying that righteous is directly relevant to a standard living or observance of the law in obedience to it. Two, we can say a righteous can be acting in an upright, moral way. It could be virtuous. It could be absolutely genuine or wonderful. One thing is in life, we know that inequality is the motive force of the universe. But the Bible said the heart is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. That is Psalm 24 from verse 1. What is righteous? And why the righteous cried out. Like I said, in the world that we are living today, we have been oppressed day in, day out with many injustices, But just like we said, this broadcast is mainly broadcast based on apology. Apologetic broadcast, we are to adhere to the true creator as God, to be the creator of heaven and earth. And he is the one that knows the right from the wrong. When we want to use the logic, the mind, we can say inequality is the motive force of the universe. And when you want to use a principle of physical sciences, by just study the law of thermodynamics, that is the study of energy, the conversion of energy between various forms, and the ability of energy to do work. From first law of thermodynamics, I can use this first law to argue for the righteous. The first law of thermodynamics said energy can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created or destroyed. That is, the total amount of energy and matter in the universe remain constant. Let us use this argument now. Energy can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created or destroyed. For instance, gravity is a form of energy. Aerodynamics is a form of energy. But for the force of gravity, it is to oppose any force that is trying to break through in. So also, it can just help to sustain the matter, the object that has already break through in. Therefore, how can we determine between the law of gravity and the law of aerodynamics, which one is righteous and which one not righteous? Therefore, we can see when we try to study the cry of the righteous, he has to be directly proportioned to a purpose, not about power. Just like somebody said, meaning, life is about meaning, not about money. Life is about purpose, not about power. Because purpose is more essential than power. And meaning is more essential than money. Therefore, the cry of the righteous is more essential and directly proportional to the purpose and the meaning. I don't want to dwell too much in trying to just go into the moral law and everything that we might scientific law. What we are trying to say to encourage us is about the cry of the righteous. And biblically, why we have to cry when you are able to discover the meaning of your life. And why God cannot violate himself, because he is the creator of all things, seen and unseen. And when he said we should cry out to him, I know he's bound to hear us. I will use the case study, but I will paraphrase the case study. It's about the case study. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. From the book of Genesis chapter 21, from verse 9 to 12. Genesis 21. The cry, Genesis 21, from verse 9 to 12. I will read quickly. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Yahweh she said to Abraham, cast out this bond woman and her son, for the son of this bond woman shall not be here with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very distressing in Abraham's sight because his son. Now, let us see the verdict of God. Sarah was crying out. That's right. Well, if you are a Bible reader, you know that Sarah was the one that her husband, so slept with a born servant, maid servant, which is legal at that time, so that Sarah can raise a child through his born woman. For she thought that she was permanently barren. But God's word stands still, and it is settled forever. God has promised Abraham and Sarah that he is going to give them a child. But the timing and the condition which Sarah was looking to make him to make a suggestion. And that is what all we do too as a human being. That is why in the beginning of this broadcast, I declare that the cry of the righteous, it has to be based on purpose, not about power. It is not about standard of morality and the verdict of a judge based on evidences. Because in this scripture now, we see when Sarah now had baby, because God answered her by giving her Isaac. God is God of that gave Abraham Ishmael through Sarah's maid servant. But one thing is certain, God's covenant post is rest on Isaac. Don't let us forget, I'm talking about the cry of the righteous. And I said, the cry of the righteous, and the righteousness is based on the purpose and the meaning, the one that is crying out. By the time I paraphrase and I finish this, we'll be able to see God Almighty working in action. When Abraham had the suggestion of Sarah, the Bible said it displeases him. In a common sense argument, we might be thinking that what Abraham was doing is right. Because by human reason, we try to show grateful to somebody that do us something good, although not everybody does that. And I believe it is all right. And I believe that God honors it too, that we have to be good to everyone. But when it comes to a purpose, when it comes to the meaning, we have to be very determined. Because if not, just like I said, using the first law of thermodynamics, that energy cannot can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created or destroyed. My purpose in life is different from my children's purpose in life. But I have responsibility to encourage, to train, to nurture them so that they will be able to discover their purpose in life. So also, my calling and the gift of God for me in life is different from every other people. I must be able to cry out to God so that I'll be able to discover what is purpose for me in life. But there are some opposition. But when I focus in God, this thing, opposition, God can make them use to be of good benefits in accomplish that purpose. But I have to be careful. Be able to differentiate the reason of my heart from the reason of my mind. God spoke to Abraham and Sarah. When Abraham has lost hope, even when he was begging God that to establish his son through the maid servant, God answered him. But when it comes about post, which is basically rest on Isaac, you know, many people don't believe in the doctrine of devil. But I know that because I believe God to be the creator of heaven and earth, and I believe in the existence of Satan, though I don't believe in his power, because I believe in the power of Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ, which has doomed the power of devil. And that the Bible says, we that believe, we overcome his work by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony, which is the word of God, and which is the purpose of God, which is the truth, and which is the name of God. Because the Bible says, your truth is my refuge and my shield, the cry of the righteous. In the culture of Abraham, the firstborn supposed to get all the blessings more than the secondborn. But in the ordinations of God, the one that has no partiality, he that knows the good and bad, has already arranged things. But because we have a free will, and we always forget that when we make a choice, there is a consequences for our choice. But when we are facing the consequences, instead of us to accept our failure and go to God, the creator of everything, all things, for mercy to help us, we either blame God or be complaining because we don't want to get responsibility. That is why the heart of man is so deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the one that knows the heart of man is the creator of man himself, who is God Almighty. Sarah aware of what is going on, and she knew, okay, God's covenant was on Isaac. We might say that is wickedness. We could say everything that why Sarah has to make that suggestion. But I know this thing. Sometimes human beings, we don't know all things, but we always pretend that we know everything. But God that knows the end from the beginning, and the one that can justify and that can condemn, and he must stand by his word. So to Abraham now, Sarah's suggestion was not good. But one thing is certain, no matter what how we try to exonerate Abraham, when they were going childless, he succumbed to the advice of Sarah to have a baby through Sarah's maid servant, who is Hagar. But when God bring to pass the promises to Sarah, not because Sarah was good, not because Abraham was bad, not good, or Hagar was bad, or good, but this has to be the decision of God alone, who has no counselor, who has no advisor. Him alone is the one that justifies and that can condemn, because his understanding, finding, is suffering and is from eternity to eternity. The Bible said in verse 11, and the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. You see, that's why I said, when we're dealing with the cry of righteous, of the righteous, you have to bypass the reason of mind. You have to bypass the power. You have to bypass events and things. We have to focus on the meaning and the purpose. Sarah's suggestion is critically based on God's purpose. And verse 12, the Bible says, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the Lord, or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet, verse 13, I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. I think a faithful person that believes God should have a joyful heart, a grateful heart to God, consolation to his request. Therefore, as a Christian, therefore, as we are on this life, we have to be able to discover the meaning of our life, and which we cannot discover by our logic or by our reasoning alone. Because we don't try to discover blindfoldedly or pursue an illusion, we can see plainly that in this story of Abraham as Isaac, at this physical time and condition, Sarah was justified. Therefore, the righteous are the recipient of divine grace, enablement of discovering of their potential, but are being surprised by forces seems greater than them to be overcome. In nature, they are those that are at right stand with God in execution of their purpose in life. Thank you, and God bless us for the listening of this